Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. Hey guys, I'm Georgia and welcome back for another episode in my mystery series, where today I want to talk to you about a fairly recent case, the story of Alicia Navarro. I generally try to steer clear of recent or ongoing cases and like from the last few years, as the last thing I ever want to do is impede on a police investigation or spread misinformation. Talking about ongoing cases can often do more harm than good. Things can happen so quickly in investigations like this that generally, unless directly asked to share a story by a family member, I will steer clear. However, Alicia disappeared in 2019 and very little has happened in her case since then. There's not been any sightings or clues as to where she went, and the only way that anything is going to happen in this case is by people knowing her name, knowing her face. Alicia's mum, Jessica Nunez, has been an incredible advocate of her daughter over the past 2.5 years. She is fighting every single day to find her daughter and she needs the public's help. I do think this is a case that if you're deeply involved in the true crime community, you would have already heard about it and seen it on the internet. But if you're not as deeply involved, you probably don't know Alicia's face. And you need to, because there's still very much a chance that she's out there somewhere and can be found. Before I tell you the story though, I want to point out that there is currently a GoFundMe run by Jessica, Alicia's mum, in which she's raising money to help with billboard expenses. She wants to put billboards all around the country, the USA, out of state. I know a lot of people don't watch these videos all the way through to the end, so I want to mention it now at the beginning. I know times are tough for everyone with all the raised cost of living right now, but if you do have any pennies to spare, then please consider donating. I'll personally be donating the proceeds of this video towards the GoFundMe, but let's all try and help in any way we can. Alicia Navarro was 14 years old when she went missing from a home in Glendale, Arizona on the 15th September 2019. It was just days away from her 15th birthday, having been born on the 20th September 2004, and she had made plans with her mum Jessica for her big day. Jessica had ordered Alicia a red velvet cake and they had big plans to go to a steak restaurant so Alicia could try steak for the very first time. They had plans and Alicia just disappeared. Alicia's a Hispanic female, she's very petite for her age, just 4'5" and she weighed 95 pounds, so to most people she would have looked much younger than 14. 2.5 years on now, she would be 17 years old and chances are she still looks younger. On screen is a high school photo of Alicia taken just a few weeks before her disappearance. She had dark brown or black hair and brown eyes and was wearing braces at the time of her disappearance. It's not known whether or not she'll still be wearing braces. Chances are her orthodontic treatment would not have been kept up with, so photos of her have been released both with and without braces. The National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children have released an age-progressed photo of what they expect Alicia to look like now. At the time of her disappearance, she was wearing what I would describe in the UK as a denim pinafore dress, but most US publications refer to it as overalls, denim bleached white. She was wearing one of her favourite white sweaters underneath and old-school high-top white and black checkered Vans. She carried with her a black backpack and would have had a silver Apple MacBook Pro laptop on her, as well as her mobile phone. Her mum has described Alicia as incredibly caring and loving and very intelligent. She had a dog called Sushi who was her best friend and they adored each other. It's also very important to note that at 12 years old, Alicia had been diagnosed with Asperger's with autism. I know there's debate around the Asperger's diagnosis nowadays, but this video is not the place for that discussion. I'm simply sharing Alicia's diagnosis as what it was. She was considered to be high functioning. She was on daily medication, and to somebody on the outside world meeting her for the first time, chances are you'd have no idea about her diagnosis, but it likely did have a lot to do with her disappearance. As part of her autism diagnosis, Alicia very much struggled in social situations and had a lot of social anxiety, as well as just being an introvert. She preferred to remain in the safety of her house and her bedroom as much as she could. While she did have a close group of friends from childhood, she spent most of her time immersed in an online world where she found it easier to make connections. The internet gave her the ability to socialise on her own terms without all of the anxiety of the outside world. Alicia, as I said, was incredibly smart. She was an honour roll student, she loved to read and loved computers. She was even interested in coding, which I'm sure we'll agree will go over most adults' heads. She was also an avid gamer and spent a huge amount of her time talking to online friends from all over the world via her games and Discord, amongst other things. She met most of these people on these games. Alicia got her first phone at 9 years old and started gaming online when she was 12. In therapy, she had discussed the dangers of speaking to strangers online. She knew but it can be difficult to get even neurotypical children and teenagers to truly understand the dangers. And as we've covered, Alicia was autistic. It's through this online world that Jessica thinks somebody lured her daughter away from home that September night, as leaving is not something Alicia would ever have done voluntarily. She was very uncomfortable in public situations and would always choose to be at home. It was her safe space. She'd never been on her own and needed the help of her family in everyday life. Jessica told AZ Central in 2020 that she was never the mum that was super strict. She wanted Alicia to go out and make friends whenever the opportunity arose. That was always the goal, to make her socialise more in person, to get her to hang out with friends and stop her gaming 24/7. I'm not autistic myself, but I am very much an introvert, and I know I spent more time online than off as a teenager myself. I found it so much easier to make friends online than offline, and still to this day, I'd consider myself an internet person. I have loads of friends I speak to in my everyday life that I met on the internet. What happened to Alicia easily could have happened to me as a teenager and could have happened to so many other people I know. And this is another reason why Jessica is so intent on getting Alicia's story out there, to warn other parents of the dangers of social media and the internet, to get them educated about what their kids are doing online. Jessica says that her biggest regret is not paying closer attention. She said that she didn't think there was any danger because Alicia was safe at home in her bedroom, she was in her eyeline at all times. She knew that Alicia spoke to people on the internet, hearing Alicia laughing and chatting in her room in the evenings. She knew she stayed up late gaming every night, but she was just glad that Alicia was socialising. Jessica said to AZ Central, "I do feel that it's very, very necessary for parents to get educated on what their kids are doing on social media and all these new apps to our kids. I myself personally didn't think any dangers since I thought my daughter was safe being at home. I have strangers in my home without them physically being there. For me, my advice to parents is to get educated on what's available out there in social media. Make sure you know your kids' passwords and be constantly talking about the dangers and just monitor their media. Because I definitely believe it's a big, big problem that our youth is facing at the moment." The 14th September 2019 was the same as any other day for Alicia and her family. As I mentioned at the start of the video, they lived in Glendale, Arizona, and that morning Jessica took Alicia out for a bit of mother-daughter time, taking her to get her eyebrows threaded before going to a popular chocolate shop or factory in the area, and then Jessica popped into a shop to get some incense for herself. Then they headed to McDonald's to get Alicia something to eat. Being autistic meant that Alicia had sensory issues. She'd wear the same clothes over and over again, always wearing sweatshirts even in the high Arizona heat, and there were only a limited number of foods that she would eat, one of them being McDonald's chicken nuggets and chips. And Jessica would take Alicia nearly every day to just get her to eat. There was nothing unusual about that day. Alicia seemed happy, and that evening Jessica heard her laughing away in her room as always. Just a few weeks earlier, Alicia had started at local Bourgade Catholic High School and her anxiety had peaked for several days, as happens with a lot of children when they start at a new school. But Alicia never expressed that she was unhappy at home. As I've already said, home was her safe space, but she was very much getting more and more independent. The last time Jessica saw her daughter was just after midnight on the 15th September. She was downstairs watching TV when Alicia came downstairs and asked her why she wasn't in bed yet, seeming surprised to see her mum still awake. Alicia told her that she needed to rest, otherwise she was going to be in a bad mood, and in hindsight, it's clear to Jessica that Alicia was impatient for her to go to bed so she could leave the house, but at the time she didn't think anything of it. Eventually, Jessica did go to bed just after 1 a.m. The next morning, Jessica wakes up as usual and begins to prepare breakfast for her two other children and her husband. That's Alicia's stepdad, not her biological dad. Alicia would often stay in bed until about 11 a.m. as she gamed late into the night. She was a true teenager. Only that morning, when she goes downstairs, Jessica notices that the back door was open. She originally thought her husband had left it open and told him off for it when he came downstairs, but he said it definitely hadn't been him. That's when she realised that something was up, but her first thought was that somebody must have broken in, not broken out. Jessica sends her husband upstairs to check on Alicia, and that's when they discover that she's not in her bed. At that point, Jessica heads outside and sees chairs and bricks stacked up against the garden fence, along with some footprints on the ground in front. After searching the house, they immediately call 911, and some Glendale officers turn up at the house, but there's little they can do at the time. From the scene, it seemed like Alicia had left of her own accord. An investigation was opened, of course, with officers going to search and speak to all of Alicia's friends, and the details were passed on to a missing persons team. But other than that, it was just a case of searching and waiting. For anyone in the Glendale area who might have seen something that night, the family home was near the area of 45th Avenue and Rose Lane, again in Glendale, Arizona. As Jessica would point out, whilst Alicia was almost 15 years old, she had no idea how to function in the outside world, and she needed her mum and family's help for almost everything. She didn't even know how to take a bus on her own, and she had daily medication that she needed to take. My sources aren't clear as to whether the medication was to help with her autism or anxiety that came along with that, or for an autoimmune problem that some articles say that she had. I suppose it doesn't really matter. Alicia had medication that she needed to take, and she didn't take it with her. As I mentioned earlier in the video, the only items Alicia took with her were her mobile phone and her silver Apple MacBook Pro, but it's also thought that she may have taken a comic book with her as well, which I'll delve into in more detail later in the video. She was wearing a denim pinafore dress, bleached white, and a white sweatshirt with high top, white and black checked Vans, along with a black backpack. I know I've already said that, but it's important that people know. Alicia did have a security blanket that she slept with every night, and she did not take that with her, perhaps out of embarrassment, or she thought she'd be back very soon. She also didn't take any charges with her, again suggesting that she thought she would be back soon. This was not a girl who'd be happy to be without her devices. She wouldn't have let them run out. Of course, though, she might have just forgotten them in her rush to leave. Jessica searched Alicia's room for any clues as to where she might have gone and discovered that she had actually left a note, reading, "I ran away, I will be back, I swear, I'm sorry, Alicia." Jessica has said that she 100% believes Alicia wrote this note herself. It's her handwriting, albeit messier than it usually would be, and handwriting experts would later confirm again that it was indeed Alicia's writing. It was no surprise to Jessica that Alicia had left the home of her own accord. It was clear that she had stacked up the chairs to jump over the garden fence, and it was definitely her footprint left in the ground with no others, but this note confirmed it for sure. But this would never have been a decision that Alicia would have come to on her own. As we've covered extensively, she had a lot of anxiety around leaving the house. Somebody had to have lured her away. Jessica took this note to the police, but this was just further confirmation for them that Alicia was a runaway, which made her case ineligible for an Amber Alert to be sent out. Amber Alerts are reserved for cases of child abduction, in which an alert is sent out to the public's phones with details of the abducted child telling them to be on the lookout. We don't have a system like this here in the UK, although I would argue we should, and I remember when I was in the USA with my family a few years ago and we all received Amber Alerts through on our phones at the same time. The noise it made us all jump out of our seats. It was very concerning as foreigners who had never received a phone alert like that before. But I'll tell you what, it made us pay attention. I still remember the details of this missing child, this kidnapped child. Anyway, I've digressed. Alicia wasn't eligible for an Amber Alert as she hadn't been abducted. Jessica had to fight for a Silver Alert to be issued instead by the Arizona Department of Public Safety, which is earmarked for missing endangered adults, high-risk missing people, or missing endangered children. Most often, but not always, Silver Alerts pertain to those with a mental or physical disability, which Alicia did come under the umbrella of. Anyone who saw Alicia was asked to call 911 immediately. Police did search for Alicia, but as any parent probably would do in the same situation, Jessica was determined to get out there and search herself as well. She personally canvassed the neighbourhood, asking if anyone had seen anything. She got hold of surveillance footage from neighbours, she put up posters, she spread the word as much as she could. She has since said that the local community have been incredible. Everyone got stuck in to help the search and they put up posters wherever they could. Even now, when people travel out of state, they'll get in contact with Jessica and ask her for some posters so they can put them up wherever they're going. After doing some internet research, Jessica contacted the National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children and got them involved in the case as well, and they also made and distributed posters. Right off the bat, Jessica was doing everything she could to find her daughter, even driving through Glendale physically handing people flyers. According to Kendall Ray's video on this case, where she actually interviews Jessica, Jessica did find some footage from a neighbour which showed a white truck entering the neighbourhood that night and leaving shortly after, around the time that it's thought that Alicia would have left the house. But that's kind of it. Since day one, Jessica has had to be an advocate for both herself and her daughter. There were several things that she noted in the investigation from early on. Alicia had to have left of her own accord, nobody came into the home and took her. Jessica's husband was asleep in the living room that night and he would have heard a stranger come in. There was no sign of a struggle, no screams or shouts. Alicia knew the house very well, she'd lived there literally her entire life, she would have known how to sneak through it quietly, how to avoid that certain squeaky floorboard and which doors made the most noise. The wall against which Alicia had stacked the chairs and clearly climbed over to get out was a complicated route out of the garden or backyard if you're American. There actually was a garden gate that was unlocked at the time, but it seems like Alicia didn't even try it. Perhaps she assumed it was locked, she didn't spend much time outside so she wouldn't have known if it was usually kept locked or unlocked, or perhaps she was concerned that opening it would make noise and attract attention. The wall she climbed over was also the first of a double wall type situation. There were two walls that she would have had to have jumped over to make her escape, which would have made it much more complicated. The other side of the garden was just a single wall, so why did she decide to go over the double wall instead of the other side? Well, the neighbours on the side with the single wall did actually have surveillance cameras, but it's not known if Alicia would have been aware of that or if she would have even thought it through to that level. The question is whether somebody else had planned this and lured Alicia out, waiting on the other side of the wall for her. Had somebody else told her where exactly to climb without being spotted? Later investigation showed that the last time Alicia was online was at 3:26 a.m. on the 15th September 2019. At some point between then and 7 a.m. when Jessica woke up, Alicia left the house. Since then, she has never been active on any of her social media platforms or her games. It has been silent. Alicia did have a Facebook, but just for family. She rarely actually used it. She also had an Instagram account that she used a bit more, I think, but again, both of them silent. As I mentioned earlier, Alicia disappeared just 5 days before her 15th birthday, and her family held out hope that she would return before then, as she'd been really excited for that day, and Alicia had promised in the note that she would be home. But of course, she didn't come home. Again, according to Kendall Ray, who made the video with Jessica, so I very much trust her information here, there was a potential sighting of Alicia 4 days after she disappeared, around 4 p.m. on the 19th September, as seen by one of her siblings' friends. The kid that saw her said that she was with an older man with tattoos all over his hands and arms and dark hair. Once Jessica heard this, she went to that area the sighting had been made in and started talking to anyone who was there, a lot of whom also confirmed this sighting of a dark-haired, heavily tattooed man. Jessica also spoke to another man who was always at this park and he confirmed again that he's definitely saw Alicia with this person. There was no surveillance footage though, so this has never been able to be confirmed. Whilst Jessica was walking the street, searching every single moment she could, the authorities were also hard at work. The FBI provided whatever resources the Glendale Police Department needed for their investigation. The National Centre for Missing and Exploited Children got more involved. All public transport companies in the area were spoken to see if Alicia had gotten a bus or in a taxi. All of the regular investigative avenues were followed in this case. But it was just as if Alicia had vanished. There were no real leads to actually be followed. There was one small clue and that Alicia had told somebody, a friend, that she was planning on leaving, but this was just a passing remark, it wasn't really taken seriously. She also mentioned once about going to California and swimming to Australia, but people make comments like this. Nothing was thought of it at the time. These remarks were so vague that there wasn't much investigators could even do with them. And then, as we all know, in early 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic hit, and this took a huge toll on the search. Jessica and the local community, who are still very much involved, were now unable to go out on their foot searches any longer. And if people were out in public, they were now wearing masks, which makes it so much harder to identify people, especially if you didn't even know them in person and just going off photographs and posters. In response to this, photos were edited of Alicia wearing masks to make her more recognisable under these conditions. But undeniably, this had a huge effect on the investigation. Ultimately, investigators were pinning their hopes on a digital footprint, eventually leading them to Alicia and her potential abductor, and I think they're still holding on to that hope. From early on in the investigation, they worked under the assumption that somebody Alicia had met in her online forums and game chats had lured her away from her home, somebody who Alicia probably thought was a friend. There's no proof of this being the case, but it's the only scenario that really makes sense. Again, Alicia would not have chosen to leave the house alone. On some occasions, the thought of leaving home would be so distressing to her that she'd curl up into a ball on the floor and just scream. She did not like leaving home. When she was upset like that, Alicia would often partake in self-soothing sensory behaviours, the most common of which was biting her knuckle, leaving her with an identifiable scar on her left middle knuckle. She would also hide behind her hair, just smoothing it against her face. So it turns out that Alicia did have a bit of a history of getting a bit too close with people online. Once Jessica caught Alicia giving out personal details to a stranger online, prompting her to sit her down for an internet safety chat. And a couple of years before her disappearance, Alicia had been texting with somebody older than herself, and inappropriate comments were made in these texts. It was a much more mature conversation than it should have been with a 12-year-old girl. At the time of this, Jessica filed a police report, but as there had been no actual crime committed, it couldn't be taken any further. To this day, nobody knows who this person was, and it's not known if the same person could have had anything to do with her disappearance. Alicia was just too trusting. The internet was the only place where she could socialise and feel at ease. She would have been easily manipulated by somebody that she thought was her friend. So earlier in the video, I mentioned that Alicia may have taken a comic book with her before she left. In an article on crimescoop.org by Alyssa Fleck, in which the author is interviewing Jessica, she shares that in the months before her disappearance, Alicia started to show an interest in a Marvel Iron Man series called Demon in a Bottle, and one comic book in particular. Jessica ended up buying this comic book for her daughter, which she said cost nearly $200, but then she never once saw her read it. Jessica never really thought anything of it until she realised that it was nowhere to be found after her disappearance, meaning that she must have taken it with her. Which raises the question, could this comic have been meant as a gift for whoever Alicia was meeting that night? Could this mysterious person be why she suddenly got an interest in Marvel comics at all? Or could she have just known that she was going on a journey, so thought she'd take a comic to read and fill up her time? Also, in the months before, Alicia started to wear body spray, which was unusual as she generally had an aversion to strong scents. She'd also asked her mum to buy her concealer, and as I mentioned previously, Alicia only ever wore the same style of baggy sweatshirts due to her sensory issues. Well, she'd recently asked her mum to buy her an open-backed shirt, which was completely out of character for her. But I assume Jessica put it all down to her daughter growing up. Having autism didn't mean that Alicia was immune to the usual behaviours of teenage girls. She probably wanted to smell nice and dabble in makeup like the rest of her peers were doing. It was just a bit of concealer and a fancy top. It's only looking back in hindsight that makes you wonder if she was doing all this for someone else. Her music taste also changed around this time, from pop music to Pink Floyd. And she'd even requested to try steak for the very first time for her upcoming birthday. That's another thing that points to the fact that Alicia intended to be around for her 15th birthday. She wanted steak. Again, this could just be her growing up, or it could be something more sinister. Not long before her disappearance, Jessica noticed a hole in Alicia's window screen. Now, for context for my UK viewers who might not be aware, because I know I didn't used to be, in hotter countries and certainly in the hotter states in the USA, many windows have a fine mesh screen on the inside, or maybe on the outside. There's a fine mesh screen that basically enables you to open the window and let air in without letting the usual bugs in as well. A genius idea, but just not commonplace here in the UK, where it's rarely warm enough to open windows and we don't have that many annoying bugs. In Alicia's mesh window screen, there was a hole about the size of a golf ball, and she told her mum that a bird had made the hole, which seemed believable enough, only Jessica's husband would later point out that it looked like it had been made from the inside. There's question over whether Alicia could have been using this hole in the window screen to pass notes to somebody on the outside. If the person she ran away with was receiving notes from her, that means they certainly would have been canvassing the neighbourhood and they would have known the best way for Alicia to get out of the back garden undetected. 11 days before her disappearance, the crimescoop.org article mentions how Alicia messaged an online friend called Clark via Discord, in which she told him that she had a boyfriend now and that she'd sold her Xbox and was now learning to play electric guitar. The article also reads, "Multiple witness accounts have suggested Alicia may have been involved in two overlapping relationships, both of which ended in difficult breakups. But for full clarity, I did not see that mentioned anywhere else." I would assume that these were online relationships and not in person, but Clark told Alyssa Fleck, the journalist, that Alicia would often make up people or stories, so it was hard to know when she was telling you the truth and what was fiction. It was Clark who Alicia told about her plan to run away to California, but he didn't take it seriously. She even invited him to come along, which possibly suggests naivety on her behalf. I'm sure whoever she was lured away by would not have appreciated another man coming along. I know lots of you are probably thinking about Alicia's phone and wondering whether it was able to be tracked. Jessica has said in interviews that the police have said it's impossible to track Alicia's phone after she left the house that night. It's untraceable. But we don't know why this is, and Jessica hasn't been told. We don't know what avenues they follow down this train of thought. Alicia has not been active on any of her social media accounts since the night she disappeared. It has just been silence. Glendale Police have followed over 300 leads since 2019, and a spokesperson for the Glendale Police Department said in 2021 that investigators and law enforcement would not be letting up in this case until answers are found. They continue to receive around 4 to 5 tips a week in Alicia's case through social media and phone calls to the department. The investigation has continued over state lines, and Jessica says that she intuitively believes Alicia is no longer in Arizona, so much so that she now focuses most of her attention on getting the word out in other states. People in Glendale very much know Alicia's story, and now the priority is getting everyone else to learn about it as well. This is where the GoFundMe comes in. Jessica is constantly fundraising to get billboards up across the country with Alicia's name and details on them in both Spanish and English, just to make sure that everyone knows to look out for her. Jessica also took to social media in an attempt to get her daughter's name out there and is aware of the irony. Social media is what likely pulled Alicia away, but is the most vital tool in bringing her home. Jessica is active on Twitter, Facebook and TikTok, where she has over 300,000 followers and millions of views, and she has done so many interviews across YouTube and podcasts to raise awareness of both her daughter's disappearance and the dangers of the internet. Shortly after the disappearance, Jessica partnered with non-profit organisation the Anti-Predator Project, made up of current law enforcement officers doing their own private investigations into the case free of charge. Investigator Toby Braun said to ABC 15, "We at least feel that Alicia met someone online and she left her house that night, and when she made contact with that person, she realised the person she made contact with probably wasn't the person she thought he was, which was a friend, and that it clearly wasn't a friend and that it was the last time she has ever been seen or heard of." Alicia might have left the house that night of her own accord, but the likelihood is it was under false pretenses. She was lured away from her home and something has happened that's prevented her from returning, even though she probably intended to. She is not a runaway and should not be classed as one. As of an article published on Fox 10 Phoenix in September 2021, there are currently around 340 children missing from Arizona, and this is disproportionately children of colour, of which Alicia is one. There's nothing to suggest Alicia isn't still out there, especially if she was potentially a victim of child trafficking, so please keep an eye out. If you know any information about Alicia's disappearance or her online life, who she might have spoken to, you can call the Glendale Police or leave an anonymous tip at www.b-united.org. I'll leave contact details for all communication avenues down below as always. But if you think you see Alicia, the Glendale Police Department ask people to contact 911 immediately to get people out there as soon as possible. Jessica is not going to give up on her search until she has answers about what happened to her daughter. This is technically considered a cold case, but that does not mean that anyone has given up on finding Alicia. Investigators are still working and still following up on any tips that come in. They ask that if you know anything, don't waste time, don't post on social media, just go straight to them. She'll be 17 years old now. I'll put the age progress photo on the screen again, but if you're listening to this via my podcast, then please just go onto Google and search Alicia Navarro, age progressed, and take a moment to look at it, remember her face. Thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope to see you in the next one. Bye, guys.